Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, everybody. Paul Segretto from the Franchise Today Show. I am joined with my guest, or not my guest, my co-host, Joel Labov of the Franchise, who is back from Las Vegas with a wealth of blogging information. Welcome back, Joel.
Good, thank you. I reached out to you for some extra money because I was losing my shorts at the slot machines, and you never got back to me. I guess that's kind of the story of my life.
What? We have a bad connection. Do you want to borrow money? What?
Yeah, that's a bad connection, all right. That's what I thought. I'm fine. I got home okay. After 30 hours of dysfunctional travel, but I'm home.
Well, good. What'd you learn? Did you see our buddy Guy Kawasaki out there?
Yeah. Saw a couple of our buddies, spent some time with them. Here's what I learned. That if you happen to have a blog and you happen to write on it, if you get some comments and you don't answer them, like within 5 or 6 hours or even a day or even 3 days, it's okay. That's what I learned. And that you don't have to post every day. And the world's not going to end if you don't post. And stop spinning your wheels. Other than that, it was great. And actually, it helped me a lot. I always learned a lot there. Thanks, Brad.
All right. Well, great. Is there anything new and improved we need to know about with blogging and technology behind blogging?
No. Not a lot of new technology being discussed. Just technology that's there already, just getting better and better.
Right. Is there any mention about video blogs or referred to
yes.
as blogs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I sat in some sessions where a video is still being highly touted. And, obviously, I don't know if you probably know this, but YouTube is the second highest ranked search engine. So YouTube is amazing how many people are on YouTube at one time. Look at
right.
that stuff.
Right.
But keep them short, though. Keep the video short.
Okay. Well, great. And did you play 22 Black?
No, I don't play a roulette. I have enough problems with everything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on in the world of franchising on the blogs?
Couple unique things. This Dr. Callum Floyd again had a I like this post a lot over at franchise-chat.com. He kind of shared what the five methods of franchising are and broke it down real nice. And he lists them as single-unit franchising, sequential franchising, which is, he says, an alternative type of franchising arrangement, which sounds like multi-unit opportunities, area development, sub-franchising, area representation, and final comment. Oh, never mind. Final comment is just a final comment. But, so there's five basic franchise models, and he went into them a little bit, enough for me anyway. Did you happen to read it?
Yes, I did. It was interesting. I think as there are more interested parties in foreign countries, I mean, obviously there's going to be more and more inquiries made for some of the alternative methods or secondary methods. But, yeah, I thought it was a good article. What else is going on in the franchise blog world?
Brand Expansion has a pretty good blog going, and they talk about the five reasons franchises are better than standalone businesses. And, of course, you and I pretty much know these reasons, but which is kind of weird, but I don't know who wrote this. Number one, firstly, you and I ever use that word in our blogs?
Secondly,
we do. Firstly, no. Firstly, with the franchise, a lot of the headaches didn't work out. Yeah, that's good stuff. According to the IFA, one of the biggest draws for entrepreneurs is that all the details are taken care of by the franchisor. Here we go again with the entrepreneur stuff. Are we going to have to go back and forth on that again with who the real entrepreneur is?
The thing that got me in his firstly paragraph is all you have to do is run the franchise and make sure things run smoothly in order for it to succeed. What does that mean?
That means that it sounds to me like someone is drinking the the IFA Kool-Aid. You know, it's not a perfect world. Hello? All you have to do is run the franchise. I mean, no, we're not slamming brand expansion here, though. We are slamming the word firstly. That is worth a slam. Hello, losers, firstly. Anyway, I mean, it's a nice-looking site, but, you know, it's not just as easy. Oh, I hate when this happens, too. But all you have to do, since it's a turnkey business, is turn the key, and everything is going to be just dusty. That certainly works every day, huh?
Yeah. I don't understand those type of comments. Just make sure things run smoothly. I have a problem with that.
It's Kool-Aid, man. It's all about the Kool-Aid. Franchising is wonderful for the right person in the right area of the country. It's the right match for them. It could be a really, really awesome thing, and it's nice to get freedom and control back in one's life after working like a slug for corporate America and getting
right.
bounced around every 3 years. I mean, it could be good, but it could be a nightmare, too, and it could be not real good. You know, it starts at the beginning. Do your homework. Make sure it's a nice fit. But all you have to do is run the franchise and make sure things run smoothly in order for it to succeed. If it was that easy, you and I would be doing it right now.
I would love the definition of smoothly, because I know of a few franchise locations that have hardly any customers coming in the door, and it's running smoothly right now, but it's not doing anything to put money in their pocket.
Yeah, running smoothly and gaining revenue are two different things. And, you know, I mean, running a business, I mean, just being in management isn't exactly a smooth day at the park. You're going to have rough days and good days, but that is weird. All you have to do is run the franchise and make sure things run smoothly. I hope that looks like Joseph is the writer. I hope that he actually is in the franchise industry and not just a writer from out of the country who is just picking up little things here and there. I mean, I have no idea. Let's see the second one. You receive, it's got to be someone from out of the country. You receive a recognized brand and the marketing muscle behind that. Therefore, you don't need to still get your brand known amongst people and get the word out there. It's all done already for you.
Yeah, right. I think that's the quintessential anti-get-off-your-ass marketing approach, that's for sure.
Folks, you don't always receive a recognized brand. Sometimes the brand is recognized in another part of the country, but is not yet, quote, branded in your part of the country. So you might have to be in on the ground floor and make a little brand out of it, but it's not automatic. Are you looking at the post? Are you online looking at it? Hello? Okay, we lost Paul for a minute. We might have lost everything for a minute. Number three, you receive a support system. So when I bet someone probably hacked into the phone because we're not reading a good blog post here. Three, you receive a support system. So when things are going wrong and you can't figure out why, there is always a field manager, helpline, or some other form of support system to provide you with assistance whenever you require it. Okay, you get support for sure. That is obviously part of what you're paying for. There's a field manager in some cases going out visiting. There is a helpline. Another form of support, of course. I'm sure there was some online stuff in some of the more advanced systems. When things go wrong and you can't figure out why, you should be able to call the franchisor. Number four, according to experts, another major draw to franchising is that franchisees have access to the group experience. The group experience. I wonder what the heck is the group experience exactly? I am not really sure what it is. I'm assuming that it is some type of group experience. I guess that's kind of what it is. If you're experienced in group experiences and your experience is one of groups, I don't know. I mean, there is a really cool thing about franchising that a lot of people don't talk about, and that is that there's already a franchisee network in place, and in that network, there are other, hopefully, like-minded franchise owners who have written a check and are really experienced at running a business and the business that you're in. So, you know, it's not a bad idea when you're doing your research to actually buddy up with a couple people and make more than one phone call to some of these franchisees, because they might end up being not only buddies, but friends, and more importantly, they may end up being actual mentors. So that is important to have a group support system. Number five, the last one, franchisor.
Hey, I'm back.
Hey, thank you. A little flooding in Houston or what?
We're in the middle of some severe thunderstorms, and the power went out for about 30 seconds and knocked everything out. And just in case it goes out again, you know why.
Well, you know, it's a darn good thing that I have previous radio experience, because I had no idea if, since you're the main host, if you're off the call, I have no idea if we are broadcasting or not. So I snuck on board, and I heard my voice. So I didn't crank it up, and there was no feedback. So anyway, for those of you that are sick of hearing my voice, Paul is back. Number five, franchisors continue perfecting the franchise system and business while you continue to run your franchise. Franchisees do not have – oh, I like this. Franchisees do not have the time to think about how to make the franchise business better. The franchisors do all that. Well, in a perfect scenario to do all that. The good franchisors are all kidding aside, the good franchisors are always trying to think of ways to perfect the system, whether it's adding some better software to speed things up, adding more support people, etc. This gentleman must have been reading what you and I write almost every day. The last sentence, however, franchising is not for everyone. All potential franchisees should weigh up on the pros and cons of franchising in order to make the best decision. Are you there, or are you still in power outage mode? Paul would be in power outage mode. So I guess they're having some severe storms in Houston. You know, it's really weird. Out of the, I don't know, 8 or maybe 10 broadcasts we've done so far, I would say that 8 or 10 of them have involved cloudy days at least, rainstorms, and just some interesting weather scenarios. In Houston and Texas. So we're going to wait for Paul to get back on board. In the meantime, I'm going to go over to Twitter and make sure that everything is actually copacetic, as we would say, and make sure that we are actually broadcasting online. I'm going to put a tweet out with the words, "Are we on the air?" Which we should be. And let's see, a little question mark, and it's going under Franchise King, which is my handle on Google, at Franchise King. If anyone is listening right now, and that is on Twitter at the same time, if you can just kind of tweet me back, I'd appreciate it. And I put the link to the Blog Talk Radio site on there, and just click the little scroll there on the right-hand side, middle right, and you will be able to figure it out. What else should we talk about? You know what? A friend of mine, I'm going to give her some airwave time here. Diane Helbig is a sales trainer, sales coach in Cleveland. And over on the Franchise King blog, I wrote a post entitled "A Franchise Lemonade Stand?" That's all we need, folks, right, is a lemonade stand that is actually a franchise. Boo-hoo, kids, too bad. Franchisors are going to take over. No, I just wanted to kind of do a little shock and awe there. But she wrote a book called Lemonade Stand Simple, Accelerate Your Small Business Growth. And Diane works with small businesses, and she also works with some franchise organizations. And she gives some nice little sales tips in her book. So go to the Franchise King blog, click on the post, A Franchise Lemonade Stand, and let me know, please, what you think of the book. So there's a link to it for Amazon. And yes, it is an affiliate link. So if you happen to buy the book from that post directly, I think I make, about 86 cents. But, you know, I'm worth it. What else is going on in the blogosphere? I know. Let's do something that is always a little dangerous. Let's go over to Sean Kelly's blog. If you're in front of a computer, go to www.franchisepick.com and let's see what Sean is doing. Sean is kind of an interesting guy. A lot of marketing experience. I mean, a ton. He helped launch some pretty big brands when he was with a franchise developer who will remain unnamed. And kind of pretty cool stuff. What is he talking about? Oh, he's talking about iPreserve. I think I've heard of them. According to CEO Matt Bills, the average home has something like 4,500 precious but aging and fading print photographs that could be preserved and stored. And it has miles and miles of family movie film and videotape in a wide range of outdated analog formats. You know, I heard about this iPreserve. I think I might have been contacted by them several months ago. So Sean just did an interview with the CEO. And, you know, I guarantee around my house there was a ton of stuff that could use some reformatting help, et cetera. The question is, and I'm always a skeptic, the question is in our case, is our family in enough pain to spend a few $100 minimum to have this done for us? I don't know. I guess our pain point would be if we tried to watch one of these old videos and the thing, the video recorder ate the tape, or if it just pooped out or started fading. I don't know. Anyway, Sean always has some very, very interesting posts going on. And I encourage you, if you're in the mood for a little bit of wackiness and a little bit of pretty intense truth about some less than stellar franchise opportunities, go over to franchisepick.com. Sean Kelly does a very, very, very nice job. So until Paul comes back, what should we talk about? Let's talk about going back on my tweet deck and seeing if anyone was able to pick up the radio broadcast. I'm hoping they are. I'm going to hit the site myself again and make sure that we actually are broadcasting. If you just give me a second here. Yes, okay. There is about an 8-second delay, so we are fine. You know that the franchise show, we went through several different name ideas. We asked for feedback, pretty much got nothing. Is Paul back? No, Paul's not back. I'm sorry. I must be hallucinating. We really kind of wanted to stick with something that kind of represented both of us. And our first idea was the Bagel and Pasta Franchise Hour. Bagel being me, the Jewish guy in Cleveland, and Pasta being Paul, the New York guy who lives in Houston, Texas, which is experiencing severe thunderstorms. Maybe we should go on a radar site. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on a radar site. Let's try, what do you think, folks? What is a fairly well-branded weather site? Let's see. www.weather.com. There we go. Let's see if we can find Houston, Texas, because, you know, Paul never fibs. I'm sure that there must be some type of severe weather down there because I don't think that Paul would leave me stranded in a lifeboat like this. Let's see here. Radar map over weather.com, Houston, Texas. The weather right now, let's see. Houston, looking for radar. Radar, hello. Where are you, radar? Don't really see too much in the radar area. I don't know. I don't really see it. You know what? I don't know where Paul is because the severe thunderstorms, according to this, passed by already. They are really, really far away from him, but they must have had a power outage. Storm cells are actually They are actually a little east of Port Arthur in Beaumont, Texas, and are moving east pretty rapidly. Excuse me. So they must have had. There's a lot of orange in the radar. So let's assume that parts of Houston are experiencing a pretty major power outage. So enough about Paul. I'm sure when he can come back, he will, and maybe he won't. I was at Blog World the past weekend, and I was able to rub elbows with some pretty cool people, really smart people, and they're doing some really cool things online, from daily coaching sessions with JV Glossinger, which is actually a pretty cool one. If you go to morningcoach.com, pretty cool stuff. I'll tell you what was talked about a lot, the word free. And folks starting to push back and want to start charging more and more as the online world continues to kind of develop. And I'm one of them. In my little franchise consulting business, I am now charging what I call a commitment fee. So if someone wants to meet with me in person, or someone that is not in my area wants to do some franchise consulting coaching on over the phone, I'm charging them up front a nominal fee, and it's a commitment fee, and that's it. That's the name of that tune. My time is very valuable, as theirs is, and my expertise. You know what? I've been doing this for a few years, and I'm answering a question or two, but I'm not going to spend a half hour on the phone ever again with someone that that just wants some free tips. It's just not a good use of my time, and it's got to be a mutual benefit. So anyway, at Blog World, we were talking a lot of us bloggers, a lot of us online folks were talking a lot about the paid model and not wanting to do things for free. I think it's okay to have maybe a top 10 tips, and if you sign up for the email newsletter, we'll give you some tips on something. And I think that's okay. I think people have to figure out that you do have expertise first in whatever you're doing. But after that, you know what? I think it has to be kind of a gradual pay system. So those of you in the online world that are also in the franchise world, think about it. Think about it. Just stuff to think about. What else is going on in franchising? I was at the my area's small business conference. COSE is the Council of Small Enterprises, and it's not really small. There's about 17,000 members that are in small business, and the COSE Small Business Conference was yesterday and is ending today over at the IX Center, which is a converted tank plant, and it is absolutely the biggest building I've ever been in. It is huge. And there were a fair amount of booths set up. We didn't take the whole building. We were just a little area. And there were probably, 1,000, 1,500 people cruising through. And there's about 15 workshops going on in the morning and 15 or 20 in the afternoon, 2 days' worth. And I gave my seminar on franchising. And I wanted to spice up the title a little bit. And I spiced it up so well that I can't remember what the heck I called it. Let me take a look here. So I just put all the paperwork away. Could investing in a franchise of your own be the answer? Be the answer. You know, for some people, investing in a franchise is the answer. Most of the people that I meet with and talk with are frustrated, recently downsized executives, middle management people from their corporate jobs. And a lot of them have been downsized, I would say, more than once or twice in their lifetime. You know, I do some speaking engagements at some outplacements, and outplacements are private firms that offer career counseling, career coaching, resume help, interviewing coaching, to the downsized of America, if their companies are their former companies are nice enough to pay for that. And I do seminars monthly for a few of them, And last month, I did a seminar. There were about seven or eight folks, half women, half men, who were recently downsized from various companies. And there was a gentleman who I think I asked him if he wanted to, at the end of the seminar, if he wanted to opt in on my email newsletter. He said, oh, I'm opted in already. I was at one of your franchise seminars 3 years ago. I said, what? He said, yeah, this happened to me 3 years ago. And I said, really? He said, I'm sorry. He said, you know what? This is really getting old, and maybe I am ready. So kind of interesting that if some of us in this business are around long enough, we sometimes see the same folks. It's not necessary to be downsized. You want to get into your own business, of course. But I think when one is downsized, it certainly increases the pain threshold. And certainly increases the need to look outside of traditional jobs. So, is franchising for you? And could it be the answer? Maybe, maybe not. As I say when I do my speaking engagements, it is certainly not up to me. It is more up to you. I don't sell. I don't push. I don't even hand out brochures. The franchise companies do the selling. But I'm very, very careful who I help put into business if I can. As I'm very, very careful and very skeptical, and some of you know me, of franchisors. Franchisors make the world go round in franchising. I just want to make sure that I am working with what I consider to be the best of the best so I can help folks get into business and they have a shot of making it. As we've said before, franchising is not a perfect world. But it's a good world. It just has to be more transparent. And I hope that the IFA, which I'm not a member of, I hope they're starting to get it a little bit. Because out of their 1,200 or so franchisors that belong, the possibility exists just mathematically that there are probably a few bad eggs in there. And there are probably a few franchisors that should have never franchised their businesses to begin with, and there might even be some franchisors in there that will sell their franchise to folks that are basically breathing and have a couple hundred grand. Hopefully the IFA will start being a little more realistic when they do some of their columns, and they will keep people in the know that franchising, although hopefully can reduce one's risk a little bit, that people can still fail. And franchisors, you too. You know what? Maybe you should be a little more careful about who you help get into business. I know times have been tough, and getting a $25,000 or $30,000 franchise fee from someone would certainly certainly help in the cash flow department and keep you running. But 2 years from now, is that person that you awarded a franchise to going to turn out to be a big headache because they had to close their doors? And now you have to disclose it, and someone else's personal lives are not doing good, and it's just kind of an ugly spiral. So franchisors, if you have the courage to turn someone down because they are not right for your business model, turn them down. Turn them away, just like I do. I turn people away all the time. I know it sounds crazy, but I do. For me, it is about doing the right thing. I learned that from my late father. And sometimes it's about money. Sometimes it's not about money. But it is always about doing what you think is the best for people as we move forward. So what else can we talk about now that I've kind of slammed the IFA, kind of probably teed off a couple franchisors here and there? What can we talk about today? I don't know. We can talk about thunderstorms, I'm sure. Let me go back to Twitter, and I don't see any direct messages. That's very interesting. I don't see any yet, but that could change. Maybe people are tuning out faster than we can be tuning in. Who knows? Anyway, I'm just going to keep going and talk about some other stuff. I know what I'm going to do. since Paul is obviously, shall we say, unavailable, I think it is time that we go over to his blog and see what the heck he's been writing about. Actually, I know what he's been writing about. You know, Paul, he does a heck of a job explaining things in a methodical way over at Franchise Essentials. He's doing a really, really, really nice job with his discussions of social media. He's working with a few companies trying to help them with their social media strategic plans, because if you are a franchisor and you're not in the social media space right now, you need to be. You need to be. If you think people still like being interrupted and being marketed to that way, all you have to do tonight is go watch a sitcom that you recorded a week ago, and because your life is so busy, you couldn't watch it that night. Winston, what do you want over there, dude? You couldn't watch it that night. I challenge you to watch. Here, go on, Winston. I'll feed you now, buddy. I challenge you to watch a half-hour sitcom that you recorded in its entirety. And if you have a DVR, I challenge you to not fast-forward past the commercials. Can you watch a cake sitcom? Can you watch a taped sitcom without going through without watching the commercial? You know what I mean. You watch a sitcom or not, and keep the commercials going for that half hour. I mean, is your life so mellow and so easygoing that you don't mind kicking back during the commercials? If it is, man, that is fantastic. Mine isn't right now, and I'm going to fast forward through those babies because I don't want to watch them. So if you think your franchisee, prospective franchisee candidates, want to be marketed to, things are a-changing. Things are a-changing, and I'm not talking just about the season. So what one must do, okay, one must find a way to get folks interested in their franchise concept at the perfect time that they are thinking about it. And it is definitely an art. So people aren't sitting back waiting to get marketed to. They are going out and searching. And Google and Bing, they're pretty popular search engines. And they're looking for you. They're looking for you, but they're not looking for an ad. Where are they finding you first? They are finding you where you've been mentioned. If you do a search right now for Tasty Delight, I bet you there is a video or two that you'll find. I do not work with Tasty Delight, by the way, but I just threw it out there because I guess I was hungry. I bet you're going to find a video or two that's posted, maybe. You're probably going to find a couple of blog posts. You are probably going to find a press release. What you probably won't find is a huge banner that says Tasty Delight, buy this franchise. So hopefully you have been learning a little about the social media space. Doing the marketing social media style is not as easy as you think. Yes, you can spend a half hour and set up a Facebook page for your brand. You can spend a couple hours figuring out what this Twitter thing is, for sure. You can get a company page set up over on LinkedIn, and you can say to your bosses, well, we're now in the social media space. We have Facebook, LinkedIn, and we're even not Twittering. You're tweeting, you're twinging. And you know what? Your boss might be saying, great, well, okay. Now, where are all the prospective franchisees? Well, if it was that easy, it'd be that easy. You know, when is it easy to find franchise candidates? It's never really easy. It might be easy to find ones that are average or ones that have no money but they have the desire and are looking for a grant as opposed to a loan. But in general, you're not going to find it very easy. So social media marketing is definitely more than putting a Facebook page up and a Twitter page and doing all that stuff that you're supposed to do. As Paul would say, you've got to do it strategically. Paul is a strategic guy. I am a punch first, then decide what to do guy. And together, actually, you know, it can kind of work. I'm not a person that's very good with Excel. Spreadsheets of any type, big drawn out plans and goals, and it's just not me. You tell me that you'd like to get the word out, and I'll put my network to work. I'll write some articles and really, really help you spread the word and spread the message about your franchise. But Paul will give me the steps to do it, and he will also assist. So kind of a cool team. Anyway, so if you want to get involved in the franchise social media space, www.franchisesocialmarketing.com. www.franchisesocialmarketing.com. Paul and I are both on that site. You'll learn about us, and you'll get a couple fine examples of what social media marketing can do for you. What else can we talk about now? What is it that franchisees want from their franchisor? Well, you know, the easy answer, obviously, is, they want support. Well, how do you support franchisees? I think that it is actually easier now than it ever was, than it really ever was, to support your franchisees. Technology is this really amazing tool because it allows us to do things remotely. And that is a good thing most of the time. The negative is it keeps us in our houses and in our offices a lot. And, you know, that's why I enjoyed myself at Blog World so much, because I get to really spend some nice face time and press the flesh with folks that I interact with almost daily, who are all over the country, most of them I met before, but it's just really nice to see them in person. Anyway, so a lot of stuff can be done virtually, a lot of stuff. You know, the old way, of course, was you had a helpline, and your franchisees would call, and you would, you know, send a field rep out in a couple days, or depending on how many field reps you have, maybe a week. And try to fix the problem. Now, a lot of it can kind of be handled virtually, which is really, really kind of cool. When I do my seminars, it seems to me that the folks out there that are interested, at least mildly interested, in investing in the franchise model and getting into business on their own, the number one thing that they still say that attracts them to the franchise business is branding. And I guess that is because of the 7-Elevens and the McDonald's of the world who have some pretty amazing brands. Did you know that Amco was, I believe I heard this somewhere, I know I did, Amco for years, I think in the 60s and mostly in the 70s, was in the top 10 of the most recognized brands in the country, if not the world. Amco. Now, if anyone is at least in their 40s, you remember the AAMCO, Evie, Amco commercials. Those of you in franchising for a while, do you know what Amco stands for? Stands for N-A-N, an Anthony Martino company. Anthony Martino, who, God rest his soul, passed away a couple years ago now, started Amco. Did you know that Mako MAACO is another Anthony Martino company. Both pretty well branded. So branding, getting back to branding, branding is so important in people's minds. I think that a lot of prospective franchise owners really expect the branding to be there for them. And I think in their minds, they are buying franchises because of the brand name. At least early on, that's why they think they're buying it. You know, out of the 50 or 60 franchisors that I work with, I would say that maybe a quarter of them are widely or fairly widely recognized brands. The rest, maybe they will be someday. Maybe they will be someday. So the most popular reason for franchise, prospective franchise owners to want to buy in a franchise is because of the brand recognition. So think about that. And how can you make sure that your branding does not get lost in the message? Because branding and advertising really used to be Madison Avenue, New York City, brand. Now, defining one's brand is a lot harder, and it is definitely more of a personal thing. You know, think of this was talked about in a keynote today that I was at for the Cozy Small Business Conference. Think about Kellogg's cereal. When you think of Kellogg's, what is the first thing you think about? For me, I think about maybe a cardboard box with some kind of Kellogg's logo on it. And then the next thing I think of is something crunchy, some type of dry cereal. And if I go further into it, I think about maybe when I was a kid in cereal. And if I go further into it, I can see people around me at the breakfast table when I was a kid. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what does the Kellogg's brand really mean? Kind of old, brings back kind of memories. How about, here's another brand. How about, and nothing to do with franchising, how about Cracker Jacks? There was a brand for you. If you've ever had Cracker Jacks, I bet with my mention of Cracker Jacks, you can close your eyes and you can see what the popcorn glazed over with caramel and surrounded by peanut clusters and peanuts looks and tastes like. And you can probably even remember, think about this now, I'm taking you through this little visualization exercise. You can probably even remember putting your greasy little hand in the Cracker Jack box to search for the special prize. And as you found it, your hand would slowly come out of the box, right? It would be a little sticky because of all the caramel and all the preservatives. And you'd get your little plastic wrap prize, and you would attach it to your bicycle or whatever, and it would be cool. You know, are there any other companies that remind you of Cracker Jacks right now? Well, I don't know what company made Cracker Jacks. Maybe someone can help me. But can you think about it? I mean, that is a brand. A brand can be an experience for someone, negative or positive. You know, go back to Amco. If you're pulling into an Amco transmission shop, are you pulling in because you're pumped, happy, excited, and you want to write a check for $1,700 because it's just a great thing to do? Or are you going into an Amco via tow truck because your transmission blew and the tow truck driver was nice enough to let you sit in front with him and Butch, the bulldog in the middle, the real dog, and you got dropped off at Amco, and you know it's coming, man. So Amco's job is to make sure that their brand stands out. So even though it might cost you $2,000 or $3,000 nowadays to get your transmission fixed, maybe Amco, maybe their franchisees, have a special way to make you feel like maybe not as bad. I don't know. How do you erase $2,500? It's not that easy to do. So we have both negative and positive things about brands, but brands are very, very, very personal. So franchisors, think about that. And social media can be a nice way to really, really get into branding, because you can really create an experience. In this keynote today, the gal was from Forrester Research, which is a huge research group. And she was talking not only about brands and her daily use of them, but about some of the negatives that have happened, which have turned into positives. Do you remember, and she had this video, this slideshow going on with this, do you remember when Dell laptops were basically blowing up, kaboom, blowing up, and Dell's PCs were actually being blamed? It was the Dell hardware, the Dell this, the Dell that, the circuits, da-da-ding, da-da-ding. Turns out that it was the batteries. It was the battery. It had nothing to do with Dell. But, you know, Dell jumped into the social media space really fast, and Dell's customers went back and forth numerous times. And Dell was wise enough to just kind of let them do their thing and get angry. And Dell turned out to be a real hero kind of company because they let both the positive and the negative go through. And, you know, Dell is a pretty strong brand. Dell is quite influential and makes quite an impact on our economy. So if you're going to put your brand out there, remember that people are talking about you, whether or not you like it, and whether or not you internally or externally know about it, they are talking about you. And now they're not only talking about you at restaurants and cocktail parties and with their friends and relatives face-to-face and on the phone, but they're talking about it on Facebook and on Twitter, maybe even LinkedIn a little bit. So if you don't have some listening devices in place, your brand is going to be hammered on, because there's bound to be some negativity out there about your brand. So none of us are immune to it. So it would be very, very wise to put some listening things in place. There was a company. Remember how I started off with this broadcast with Paul, and Paul asked me what I learned at Blog World. The community manager over Radian 6, that's R-A-D-I-A-N, and then the number 6. I think I called it Radian 6 on a tweet yesterday. Radian 6, R-A-D-I-U-N, and the number 6. Very, very impressed. And I think her name was Amber. Real, real nice gal. She gave a 45-minute talk in one of the workshops over at Blog World in Las Vegas, Nevada. She was one that told us that if we didn't write a blog article, or if we didn't answer a comment in 10 seconds, or if we didn't write a blog article every day, that the world would still go around. And she actually said the same thing that my wife says to me when I get a little obsessed with the blog and with the websites I have and stuff. She's like, Joel, you don't work in the ER. Dude, you don't work in the emergency room, okay? The world won't stop spinning if you don't answer a comment, negative or positive, on your blog within 5 minutes or 5 seconds. The world won't end if you don't write a fresh article for 3 or 4 days. Or, I know, Joel, it's hard to believe, even a week. Okay? So anyway, what Amber also talked about was her the company that she works for. And Radian 6 is something that you might want to check out, because it is a social media monitoring tool, SMMT, a social media monitoring tool. And if you want to be able to listen in to all the conversations taking place online, I like that, listen in on the, enter the conversation online, enjoy, interact. But if you want to listen in on what's going on with your brand, your name, maybe a specific franchisee, a specific town, they have a really cool setup that you can purchase from them that will give you this really cool desktop and ways to track and analyze first of all, who's talking about you and how, but it'll help you also target the right demographic. Because, you know, it's one thing to find out that, yeah, well, there were actually 62 Facebook hits today, but where did they come from? Oh, well, and they can kind of help you analyze it a little better and figure out who you should be targeting. So anyway, Radiant 6 is one of a few social media marketing monitoring tools. Track Your is another one. Andy Beal, I think it is, does that one. So there are tools available. You know, you can't say that, well, I'm really new to the social media stuff. I don't know, how do I keep track of all of it? Well, spend a little money and have it on your desktop, and that's one way to keep track of it. The franchise world, I think we're going to have a better year than last year. And hopefully next year will be even better than this year. Last year for me was really, really ugly. Personally, this year is a little better. The summer was pretty good. Now it's a little choppy again. But I think all in all, the year will end a little better than last year. I wanted to read to you an article that I passed out today over at the Cozy Small Business Conference to all those numerous attendees at my seminar. And I wanted to give them kind of a final parting shot, I guess. And the title of the article is Investing in a Franchise is Not a Sure Thing. Now, this is not negative. It is just reality-based. And I think I'm going to send a copy of it over to some influential folks. And they should be handing it out or posting it on their website also. Anyway, investing in a franchise is not a sure thing. A lot of folks go into a franchise business of their own with unrealistic expectations. Here is what some of them are. Number one, if I ever have a problem, all I have to do is pick up the phone. Okay, something to think about. Number two, since the franchisor has a marketing plan in place, I won't have to worry about getting lots of clients or customers. Okay, I am lowering my risk a lot by investing in a franchise business, as opposed to starting my own thing for an idea or a service or a product. All right. Number four, I'll make my investment back quickly. I'm not even commenting on that one. Number five, getting a small business loan won't be difficult because, after all, a franchise is a proven business. Well, I don't know if you read any headlines now, but the banks are a little tough. But I'll tell you, the last three folks that I helped get in business, no problem at all. Getting a loan, no problem at all. Maybe it's because I'm such a good qualifier of people and such a good judge of people that I just know who's going to get financed and who's not. No, actually, they just got approved. Okay, the five things I just read were unrealistic expectations that some folks have, and I'll read them again. If I ever have a problem, all I have to do is pick up the phone. Number two, another unrealistic expectation. Since the franchisor has a marketing plan in place, I won't have to worry about getting lots of clients or customers. Another unrealistic expectation. Number three, I'm lowering my risk a lot by investing in a franchise business as opposed to a pure startup. Unrealistic expectation. Number four, I'll make my investment back quickly. And the unrealistic expectation five, getting a small business loan won't be difficult because, after all, it's a proven business. Okay. Now, allow me to inject a healthy dose of reality concerning these five items. Number one, okay, if I ever have a problem, I'll just pick up the phone. Well, there is one thing that is 100% correct about this expectation. There will be problems. But picking up the phone, you know, to call the franchise company's headquarters, to get an immediate solution to the problem, as pleasant as that sounds, and as whatever your visual is of that, probably won't happen as fast as you want it to. You might have to wait your turn. Other franchisees might be experiencing the same problem. Also, it depends on what kind of problem it is. Are you suffering from a lack of business? Is there a problem with the software that just came installed on the PC that was part of your franchise package? Is your advertising just not getting the job done? Please realize that the franchisor cannot and will not solve every problem that you have. Being a small business owner, franchise or not, means that you are now an official problem solver. You, that's right, not the franchisor all the time, you will still have to find solutions to some of the problems you're having yourself. All right. Number two, marketing. Well, since the franchisor has a marketing plan in place, you're thinking that you won't have to worry about getting lots of clients or customers. Well, you know, nothing happens magically or overnight. Your franchisor, in most cases, will have a formal marketing plan, but the question is, and this is an important one, is it a good one? Well, you can find out. Don't read the brochure. Ask the franchisees that are doing it, you know. Does the marketing plan work? Is it a good one? You know,
is that
the franchise,
so?
Pardon me?
I said, is that so?
Yes. Yes. No, he's back now, just in time.
I'm back now. You know, I was trying to get on my cell phone but didn't have the number to Blog Talk Radio, and my computer was shut off, and it had no battery. I apologize, folks.
That's okay.
That's the utility companies, right?
Yeah, I'm just filling in. I actually went to weather.com and checked out the Houston radar with the listening audience, and found out that the storm was like by Beaumont, Texas, by the time your power was out. So I don't know, it would have been about 10, 15 miles away from you?
Actually, it's about 60, 70 miles away. We're on the back end of it.
Okay.
Right now, the skies are black, and power just came back on. Anyway, finish up, and...
Okay. Well, you know what? Instead of reading the rest of this, investing in a franchise is not a sure thing. I am going to post it on the Franchise King blog. It's going to be a repost because this is an article from a while ago. I'm going to repost it on the Franchise King blog within the next 15 minutes so folks can read it. What I was talking about was the false expectations that folks have before they become franchise owners, as opposed to the reality of what, you know, might happen as a franchisee. Not good or bad, but I was just trying to point out some things. So I will post that, www.thefranchisekingblog.com. If you want to know what the unrealistic expectations are today of prospective franchise owners, and in reality, what they will be facing, nothing negative, just reality, www.thefranchisekingblog.com. Within the next 15, 20 minutes, I will find it and repost it. Paul, when you're talking about social media, we are talking about radar, and it doesn't even look like there's any storms around you. It looks like it all went east of you. What's up?
We're just on the tail end with black skies and raining hard right now. And,
really?
But I think it's the tail end of it. So
it wasn't even showing. It was not even showing on a radar.
Really?
It was all showing that it was east of you.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, Joel.
Wow.
Hey, Joel, did you happen to notice our friend over at the Franchise Note wrote a couple of articles last week and made mention of me when we were talking about franchise failure and stuff like that? A couple of his articles was growing your franchise unit, why bother reinventing the wheel? He's got good posts on there.
Good, yeah. I've been going kind of on and off, checking it out when I have time. That's good. He seems like a pretty smart guy.
Yeah, I think so.
I wish he would tell us what franchise he was a part of, if in fact he ever was.
He was, so yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah, he said he was. I want to know who it was, though.
Right.
You know, just for a little more cred. So what do you have going on for the next 30 seconds?
Well, I'm just trying to get back from the flu and feeling better and get back to finishing up a bunch of social media stuff. A lot of exciting things on the horizon. And we're running out of time here, so why don't you take us to the house?
Well, I'm going to take you to the house. Be careful down in Houston, Texas, with the severe weather. I hope everyone enjoyed listening to the Franchise King, Joel Lababa, today, and a little bit of Paul. And next week, there will be both of us. Ciao.
Bye-bye, people.